Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And today is such an auspicious day, the day of Vijayadashami. The very fact that Swami, in his previous incarnation, chose this day to shed his mortal coil only demonstrates how significant this day is. And very interestingly, Vijayadashami in this year of his 90th birthday falls on a Thursday. Many years ago, when the chairman of the Shirdi Samsthan, who is charged with the duty of administering the properties and the ceremonials of worship at the Shirdi shrine, when he hesitated to swallow the vibhuti which was materialized by Bhagwan because he feared that it might be a sacrilege, because he did not know who Satya Sai is. On that occasion, when he was hesitating to touch that vibhuti, to put that vibhuti on his tongue, Swami gave him a sign to convince him that the two are the same. The Shirdi Sai's picture on the wall of that room in Bombay just immediately gave forth a flash of brilliant light. And that flash of brilliant light in that instantaneously removed the dark doubt of his heart. When Tidemann Jonasson of Norway was before the Shirdi shrine, an old man appeared before him and giving him a picture of Satya Sai and also a small quantity of udi, directed him to see the present avatar in Mumbai, to see Satya Sai on the 13th day of March. At that time, no one had any inkling of the visit of Bhagwan to Bombay in March. Later, when on 13th March, he did meet Bhagwan in Bombay, Swami convinced him that it was he who informed him at Shirdi to come and see the present incarnation, the same Shirdi now as Satya Sai. Satya Sai is the effulgence, the majesty, the compassion that animates every shrine in which Shirdi Sai is now adored. A nephew of Kaka Sahib Dikshit, one of the inner circle devotees of Shirdi Sai Avatar, he had written a song of prayer to Shirdi Sai where he expressed his desire. He yearned to be a gatekeeper at the Lord's shrine. He said, "Oh Lord, if not anything, at least make me your gatekeeper." This was the prayer that he had written to Sai Baba of Shirdi. And many years later, Kaka Sahib Dikshit actually became the gatekeeper at Vrindavan Ashram, living in a cottage near the gate and hurrying with the keys whenever Swami drives in or out of the Vrindavan Ashram. Mrs. Bhataja and her daughter heard of Bhagwan when they were at Bangalore. They had to proceed to Bombay after a visit to Shirdi. And so they decided to have the darshan of Swami on their way. So they came to Puttaparthi, but they could not get an interview with Bhagwan in the few days that they stayed. And they were about to leave. So that day, on their last darshan, they called out to Bhagwan when Bhagwan was passing along the veranda on the first floor of Prashantinilayam Mandir, and they asked his permission to leave, because in those days the devotees are so few. Every devotee who came generally got an audience with Swami, and they took his permission before they left. Now Mrs. Bhataja did not get the much anticipated interview, and now she thought she cannot wait any longer and she wanted to leave. So she shouted out to Swami and said that she wants to go. Just then Swami called Professor Kasturi to his presence, and Swami gave some udi packets to Professor Kasturi and said, "Go and give these to the mother and daughter from Bombay. They are waiting below." And then Swami did not stop there. Swami said, "This mother and daughter, they have brought a piece of cloth for me. Tell them they can take it back and use it. They can stitch it as items of dress. They can consider this piece of cloth as my prasad and use it the way they like. When Professor Kasturi came down and told this to this mother and daughter, they were simply amazed. They actually had bought a piece of cloth to be placed at the shrine of Shirdi. They had kept it very carefully inside their box because it was meant for the shrine at Shirdi. They wanted to spread it on Bhagwan Samadhi at Shirdi. And now Bhagwan had accepted it. The same Shirdi had accepted it. And the moment Professor Kasturi said this, they said, "We will not go to Shirdi. For us, this is Shirdi. And that offering has already been accepted. We have already got the prasadam. Why should we go to Shirdi?" Again, in 1960s, a Maharashtrian devotee composed a poem on Baba at Shirdi in which he characterized Baba as Satya Sai. In the poem, as he was describing Sai Baba of Shirdi, he called him Satya Sai. And later he came to know that Satya Sai is actually the incarnation of the Lord of Shirdi. He read Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Volume 1, and that is how he came to know about Satya Sai. So he came to Prashanti Nilayam because he was very amazed that the name that he had used, the name which had just come to his pen, was actually the name of the avatar. And when he came to Prashanti Nilayam, he told Professor Kasturi how to him both the sais seemed so connected. He said the last incident in the life of the first incarnation in the Shirdi avatar and the first incident in the career of the second avatar, Satya Sai avatar, gives us so many beautiful clues. He said Sai Baba of Shirdi appeared before Das Ganu at dawn on the 16th day of October 1918 and said, "The masjid has collapsed. I am going from there now. I have come to inform you. Go there quick. Fulfill this wish of mine. Place flowers on my Dabari." Dabari means the tomb. So this was the command of Baba to Das Ganu. Go and place their flowers. And this devotee, the Maharashtrian who had composed a poem on Baba and had described Shirdi as Satya Sai, says in 1940, when Swami announced himself as having come again to resume his work and foster his devotees, when Pedda Venkappa Raju asked his son, "Who was making the announcement? Show us a sign, convince us that you are that same Baba," Swami asked for flowers to be placed in his hands, flowers that he had asked Das Ganu to place on his tomb there, on his samadhi there. Now again, he threw the flowers on the floor and the flowers automatically formed the words Sai and Baba. That was the flowery connection between the two avatars. Incidentally, we celebrated the Avatar Declaration Day just 2 days ago, 20th October. Again, such a landmark day. In fact, this year it is part of the Dasara celebrations, adding to the grandeur of Dasara celebrations in this 90th year of Bhagwan. In fact, when Sai Youth of Hyderabad once asked Swami permission to celebrate separately Avatar Declaration Day as Youth Day or some such day every year, Swami said, "See, the Dasara celebrations and this day might overlap in many years, so there is no need to observe it as a separate day. Observing as a separate day is not so important. What is important is the message of that day. Manasa bhajare Guru Charanam. To hold on to his feet, to work towards our salvation through service to society." The great mystic Khalil Gibran once very beautifully said, I slept and dreamt that life is all joy. I woke up and I saw that life is all service. And then I served and I saw that service is joy. Bhagwan says, cultivating purity, a pure heart, is the essence of all sadhana, and we can cultivate a pure heart through service, through the practice of selflessness. Pure heart is the greatest temple in the world. They say, don't believe the smiling face, but believe the smiling heart, because that is what is very rare in this world, and that is what is most needed in this world. If we have the heart, we can serve anyone, anywhere, through beautiful ways. Once two men were in a car when they had to stop at a red signal light, and the man at the wheel did not say anything. But the other man by his side, he was fretting and fuming, and he was saying, you know, the amount of time we waste waiting at these red lights, you know what, I can actually write a book. But the driver still did not say anything. He didn't seem agitated. He was not actually even responding to what the other man said. So finally this man got very frustrated and he said, don't you hear what I said? And the driver said, no. How come you did not hear? I'm losing my patience here waiting for the signal and I'm so irritated. It doesn't affect you? You don't want to respond? The driver says, I'm sorry, sir, I was busy. I was busy talking. He said, talking? To whom were you talking? I don't see you talking on your phone or anything. He says, I was talking to God. In fact, this has been my practice every time I go to a red light. Every time I get stuck in the traffic, I pray for one of my friends. I utilize that time to send my love to someone in need, to sincerely pray for someone who needs God's grace. And it's so wonderful how many people I have on my prayer list and how many times I have got this opportunity to pray. I'm really grateful to God. If we have the heart to serve, we can serve anyone, anywhere through beautiful ways. Once a group of 50 people, they were attending a seminar and suddenly the speaker stopped and started giving each one of them a balloon. And each one was asked to write his or name on it using a marker pen. And then all the balloons were collected and put in another room. And now these delegates were let in to that room and they were asked to find the balloon which had their name written. And they were asked to do it in the next 5 minutes. So everyone was frantically searching for their balloon, the balloon on which their name is written. And you know, as they are trying to locate their balloon and you know, hurrying and scurrying from one corner of the room to another, the balloons are flying and you know, they're bumping off the ground and each person is actually colliding with each other, pushing around others and somehow trying to locate the balloon on which their name is written. There was utter chaos in that room. At the end of 5 minutes, hardly anyone could find their own balloon. And now the person who was conducting the seminar, the speaker, suddenly stopped and he said, okay, what you do is each one just randomly select a balloon and call out the name of the person whose name is written there and give it to the person. And now when everyone did this, picked up a balloon, called out the name and just shared it to the other person, within minutes everyone had their own balloon. And And the speaker said, this is exactly what happens in our lives. Everyone is frantically looking for happiness all around, but they do not know where it is. Our happiness actually lies in the happiness of other people. If we decide to do something for the other, automatically our life also gets sorted. If you give others their happiness, you get automatically your own happiness. To live for the other is what is called living by the heart. Because only that beats for others is a heart. That which beats only for itself is only an efficient lump of flesh. The purpose of life is to lead a life of purpose where we become of purpose, we become purposeful to others. And that is one of the very beautiful lessons that is so emphatically conveyed and instilled in the minds of young hearts and minds during this Dasara celebrations. To all the students of Bhagwan's University, the Dasara celebrations in Prashantinilayam is a multifaceted program over a week and 10 days. And how it happens is really amazing. Dasara delights our beings and it awakens our consciousness. That is how Swami has designed the Dasara celebrations in Prashantinilayam for all the students and staff of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and for the devotees. Just this afternoon I had the opportunity to talk to someone who has had a very long tenure at Bhagwan's lotus feet as a student and then as a faculty member and now serving Bhagwan as the warden of the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Someone whose life Bhagwan entered when he was just 4 years old. Someone who has been immensely blessed to profusely see and witness the love of Bhagwan and experience his grace and glory immeasurably. I asked him to share his reflections, his reminiscences, and his life lessons during the Dasara celebrations. It was a beautiful conversation for more than 50 minutes, and that is what I'm going to play for you on this beautiful Thursday, the day of Vijayadashami, the day of the culmination of this grand sanctifying sacrifice, this sanctifying fire of sacrifice. So that is what we have for you in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Salam and welcome, Ravi Kumar sir, to the studios of Radio Sai and to Outside Inside Deep Inside.
Thank you, Prashti, for giving me this wonderful opportunity.
Just a few hours ago, we had the beautiful, glorious conclusion of the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yagnam. And as I sat there, and as I was witnessing this grand sacrifice, especially those last moments, so many memories flooded my mind, and I was thinking how it would be for people who have seen Bhagwan in 70s, in 80s and in 90s. And you are someone who has had the unique opportunity of being with Bhagwan for more than 4 decades. You have seen Bhagwan in all these beautiful manifestations during all these festivals. And Dasara is one of those spectacular festivals of Prashanti Nilayam. And you have been very much a part of it. Bhagwan has given you the opportunity to be a speaker in almost all the Dasara functions almost for 30 years.
Yeah, from the year 1986.
From 1986, you have spoken on every Dasara and we heard you even during this year, 2015, in this year of Bhagwan's 90th birthday. So tell us, sir, as you sat there and witnessed the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha and the grand conclusion of the Yagnam, what thoughts flooded your mind?
Thank you, Prashti. As I sat in that Purnachanda auditorium, witnessing that beautiful Purnahuti happening, I could not but remember the beautiful, charming form of Swami walking from one side of the stage to the other with a huge garland.
With garland.
Swami would wear a jasmine garland.
Wow.
And so lit and lovely. And it's so delicate. So
yes.
Beautiful it would be to watch Swami walk like that. There were a number of occasions when I had an opportunity to sit behind Swami, you know, as part of the Vedam group.
Yes.
To watch that, and it would be something really spectacular. Honestly, I missed Swami's form today. I really missed that beautiful form. I said, Swami, how charming that form was that you blessed our eyes with witnessing.
Absolutely.
And there was a sense of great fulfillment watching that Purnahuti. You know, as the Purnahuti was happening there, I remembered Swami would get up and with handfuls of akshata, he would bless the priests.
Every time, akshata would just pour from his hand.
Would just manifest in his hand and full hand, Swami would bless all those purohits.
Wow.
It was always a fantastic thing to watch Swami do that.
Amazing. And especially the grand finale where Swami literally as the Yajna Purusha stands next to the fire and is the one who physically is receiving the oblations.
Yeah. It's not that Swami is getting the Yajna conducted. Swami is receiving the offerings.
Yes. Yes.
You know, in those days, the elders used to tell us that Swami would get temperature, you know, physically. Swami would get temperature as this Yajnam was going on.
Oh my God.
And there were a number of occasions. In fact, I remember one day when we were sitting with Swami and Swami asked us to check his temperature and it was hot. And Swami said, Jaramandira, he said. So, Swami is the one who's receiving all the offerings.
Amazing. As you are describing Bhagwan wearing that huge garland, it's almost like a beautiful blossom being garlanded.
Yes. After all, it is Swami who gives beauty to everything, right?
Absolutely. So tell us about those Dasaras of earlier years.
Yeah, the earliest recollection I have of Dasara is in the year 1971. There was Balvika's group from Bangalore which had come to put up a play. And I happened to be a lucky inclusion into that, even though I was not from the same samiti. They were one shot and so they requested our samiti to lend me for that.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I got into that. And I remember the first day when we landed here, you know, where we have that Sai Srinivas guest house now, that is where we used to have the old hospital building. The first one which Swami had started in 1954.
Yeah, the first general hospital was there.
Yes. And just on the other side of the road, there would be the terrace of the buildings. Okay. That was the Pathshala area.
The Pathshala. Next to the Subramanya temple.
Yeah, and that area. That entire area. And we would, as small children, sit there and watch Swami doing Narayan Seva. Long lines.
Oh, Narayan Seva would be done there.
Yes. And Swami would personally do it. You know, he would take a kerchief and put it on his shoulder. And with a, he would keep bending and serving. Because people would be sitting on the floor with leaves.
Personally serve everybody.
Personally. Everybody.
Like for half an hour?
No. For hours together. I was a small boy, but what I recollect is, Swami would start around, say, 8:39. And it would go on almost till 3 o'clock.
Oh my God.
Batch after batch, batch after batch. Because
you
place
serve from 9 to 3.
Continuously. And you know, Swami would be sweating so much. Oh you know, his God. Robe would be drenched in sweat. And he would do that.
But he would want to do it personally?
Yes.
Everyone?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay. When we think we are doing a lot of service, we should remember that. I think that Swami did.
I mean, he has really done it to show us how to do it.
Exactly. Today, when all these Purohits were sprinkling that water, I was telling my neighbor, you know, so many Purohits are sprinkling. You know, Swami did all this alone.
Alone. Correct.
And you take such joy in going to every nook and corner.
I remember how we used to rush to Mandir on Dasara to find a vantage point in Purnachandra Auditorium because you want that water, sacred water droplets to fall on you from Bhagwan's hands.
Yes. And you know, Swami would go to every nook and corner and everyone would be so thrilled the way Swami would, and that enthusiasm with which he did. Single-handed he did. There were days when I have thought, Swami, how much your hand must be paining? Sprinkling all along, it used to go on. Okay, coming back to this Narayan Seva, I remember as Swami would serve, he would tell somebody next to him, Vidikichese, like that. In those days, handicapped people, they would give coupons, or some kind of card. Mm-hmm. I vaguely remember some pink card or something it used to be. And Swami would finish around 3 o'clock, go inside, and by 3:30 out, Swami is again fresh, outside with clothes, you know, standing where the Prashanti circle was there. There would Swami would stand and people would come, the gents and ladies, and Swami would give them clothes.
Oh, so after distributing food for 6 hours, then you would personally
give clothes.
Oh my God.
That is my earliest recollection.
I mean, that is what Gram Seva we are doing. He himself alone did that.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, that is why whatever we do, okay, it is a very poor reflection of the amount of work physically Swami has done.
Swami has done.
And that's why it inspires us. You know, it inspires us to do, and how much ever we do, it is just a very poor image of what Swami himself used to personally do.
And this is like when Swami was in his 40s or 50s.
Yeah. Swami are about 46.
46,
Right. 46.
Yeah. You have today boys who are in their 20s.
Yes.
And serve in 2-3 villages and come. And you know, you feel tired.
Yeah.
And there, Swami at 46 were serving for 6 hours continuously. Yeah. And then again.
He would come back fresh, you know.
Come back
it
fresh.
Would be so amazing. You know, I used to be really thrilled to see Swami. It was as if he was starting the day. It would be like that when he came back at 3:30. Be fresh. Mm.
Amazing.
That is because his love was so great. Okay, when he gave, for us, when we give others, probably our charge goes down. But for Swami, it's like a dynamo. The more he starts giving, the more he gets.
Absolutely. That's what I have heard from people also who have served Bhagwan at close quarters. That whenever he was with devotees, whenever he was giving, you know, that he was a different self altogether.
Absolutely. Even the thought of giving, you know.
Yes.
When this Narayan Seva used to be arranged, Swami would get all these festoons and all put. Swami would personally supervise. Mm. Professor Kasturi was one day telling that in one of the earlier years, the day before they had put all these festoons and then it rained in the night. And all those had got faded. And Swami insisted that they should all be renewed. Mm. He said, these are our own kith and kin coming. So we should, you know, that kind of love. And that is what drew all these people from amazing. Around the villages.
Amazing. So this is 1971, sir?
Yes.
Amazing. And I think that tradition has continued in various ways. That Gram Seva that Bhagwan started, it acquired a gigantic proportion and in a multidimensional way over the years.
Yeah. The thing was, I remember when this Gram Seva started, it was like this. In those days, all those people used to come in thousands.
Hmm.
Okay. And then it became 10,000, 15,000 like that. And you know, we used to have in the Hillview Stadium, we used to have.
Yes. There also Swami used to go and serve.
Swami used to go. Mm. And Swami would initiate it.
Initiate it,
and
yes.
Watch.
Yes.
Because I remember a very interesting incident. It's Swami's 50th birthday, 1975.
Mm.
Swami had chosen a group of us to take these dhotis and saris and help in the distribution.
Mm.
A full lorry load of this.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went there, we are surrounded by a sea of people and we just could not get down from the lorry.
Oh.
Just how much ever we tried, we just could not get down.
Oh
people are so eager to receive.
And they were so eager to receive, and they just surrounded us. And not knowing what to do, we turned the vehicle and came back. You know, it was in Ishrama school. Okay. We turned the vehicle and came back to the mandir. Just before we are entering the mandir gates, somebody came running and said, Swami has told that you should not come back even if you have one sari or one dhoti with you. Because distribute everything.
And you didn't get chance to distribute even one.
Yeah, and so we had to go back, we had to distribute it there, we had to go around the villages and distribute, and we came at 7:30 in the night.
And that is how Bhagavan...
That is Swami's giving.
Yes.
When Swami gives, it's always like that, truckloads of, you know.
Absolutely. Amazing. And today you see that same Gram Seva tradition as you were saying.
Yeah, I was just trying to link up these two. So those people used to come and we would serve them food here and clothes. Then in 1999 Swami told us, you know, we have this Narayan Seva and people are coming here. But you know what? The people who need it are actually not able to come. So I think it's time that we go to them. And Swami said, so somebody said, yes, Swami, we'll go to the village, assemble everybody on the road and serve them in their own village. Swami said, no, it's not like that. You go to them hut by hut and give them in their own house. That is respect, Swami said. And you can't make them sit on the road and eat.
Yes.
That's not correct. And I remember the first few days when we went, with such tremendous joy and love people received us. You know, that particular year, we even did big towns like Dharmavaram. Okay. We had gone to Hindupur. Big towns. Dharmavaram, we started our serving at 6:30 in the morning and went on till 10 in the night.
It was so beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
Phenomenal.
Actually, before this also, in 1985, we had this Gram Seva, you know, Swami's 60th birthday.
In the Hindu stadium.
You went to villages.
Okay.
That time it was slightly different. It was during our holidays. And Swami said, okay, you go to the villages and work in the villages. Okay, some chosen villages. You go there and work and you make soap pits. And paint the school, paint the temple. In some cases, temples were to be built in, roads were to be made. I remember two villages, Amagundapalam and Kamavaripalli.
Yes.
When we went there, it was about 32 kilometers from here we had to travel. And you know, we had this bus on which loudspeakers were fitted, horns were fitted. And we would go early in the morning at 6:30. Swami would give us darshan from the balcony. And we would go in the morning too. And all along we would be cheered by small kids. They would be waiting to cheer us. And we would go to these villages and serve them. And Swami would ensure that food reaches us. Okay, Swami would ensure food is cooked here. He would taste it. After he approved of the food, it would be sent to us in jeeps. It would come. And we were working like that. One very beautiful incident which I remember is, one of those days, in fact all the days, we used to have behind us an ambulance with doctors coming, a few doctors coming. One particular day Swami said, there is no need of taking doctors today. And so we left. After we went to that village and started working, you know, when we went to those villages, there were no roads also. And Swami had told us, you go and work there, I will come. And if Swami has to come, we have to make a road. So we made proper roads. You know, we had to take...
So how many days did you take to make the road?
About a week. Okay. In these three, four locations we were working. So, as we started work, one of the professors, got stung by a big black scorpion.
Oh my God.
So, and he was in great pain. And there were no doctors. So, we asked the villagers, so, where is the doctor? They said, what doctor? We said, okay, where is the closest hospital? They said, it's about 25 kilometers. So what do you do if somebody gets stung? He said, we pray for him.
Oh my God.
You know, it was in that kind of a situation. And can you imagine, we are wondering what to do, then the ambulance comes with the doctor.
Oh.
Swami had just delayed it by about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was meant for us to realize how those poor people were staying in that village.
Mm.
And of course, the doctors immediately gave first aid and everything was fine.
Mm. I mean, there are so many dimensions to everything that he does.
Everything that he does.
Amazing. So Swami, after that came Ramagundapalyam, isn't it?
He came. Ramagundapalyam and Kammavaripalyam. In fact, Swami led. Swami told us, you do your service and come, then I will lead you into the village. We were wondering how Swami would lead us, because normally Vedam group goes in the front and all that. When we went to that village, Swami was walking ahead of us. And those villagers were putting flowers, you know, in Swami's path. It was such a beautiful sight. It was Indian culture back. You are watching Indian culture in action.
In fact, I remember reading the discourse.
Swami inaugurated Rama temple there.
Rama temple there in Ramagundapalyam. And Swami mentioned that these two villages are
like eyes.
Like my eyes.
He said, when I was young, I had come and seen these two villages. They are twin villages actually. Kammavaripalyam. And Swami said, these are like my eyes. That sentence I also remember.
And that's something phenomenal. I mean, Bhagavan always used to say how India lives in its villages. The culture of India has to be preserved. And for that, the villages have to be made self-sufficient. Villages have to be, I mean, I think in that spirit, you have the Sri Satyasai Village Integration Program.
Right.
Which Bhagavan started. Right. And, you know, now you have every Samiti.
It's an ongoing
project. Yeah.
We have had occasions to watch it in action in Karnataka, you know, during the summer. Sometimes, means every year students have been going on the day after the exams get over. And we have seen it in action. In fact, there's one place called Tarabahalli. A few kilometers from Bangalore. We had gone there to do some service. Some of these, about 80 students had asked for this opportunity. So we went there.
During the summer vacation.
Summer vacation. After the exam gets over.
So they chose to stay back and serve.
Yes.
Then go home.
Yes. This was in 2012. Okay. So they said, sir, we would like to go. And when we went there, we were shocked to see that hardly a few kilometers from Bangalore, those villages were in such pitch darkness, you know.
Oh, no electricity.
No electricity. I mean, even though bulbs are there, electricity is not there. You know, this is a typical situation. So we got the idea of putting these Pepsi Cola bottles, you know, filled with bleach and a few drops of bleach and water, and embedded in a tile. And you know, it would be like a 60 watts bulb. And people could see what they were doing. They could read newspaper.
Oh, wow.
It was like that.
And no expenditure for
at least during the daytime.
Yes.
And there would be no power cuts. You know, God's this thing is like that. There are no power cuts.
Amazing. And I think the other dimension of Dasara, one is this Gram Seva. And the other dimension is the continuous chanting of the Vedic hymns.
Yes.
And you know, if you look at these two streams, how Bhagavan has taken this Seva aspect to a beautiful dimension. Similarly, this chanting, which started with only a few students, not students, actually Vedic priests, and then that also has become today a movement, isn't it?
Yes.
Across all countries, cultures, languages, gender.
Yeah. Whatever the Lord touches becomes universal. You know, I always think that this Dasara, there are three types of fires which are quenched, you know. The first is the karma, okay?
Yes.
That is your seva.
Yes.
You go physically and serve, okay?
Karma yagna.
That is the jataragni.
Yes.
The fire in the of hunger in all these poor people.
Yes.
Okay, Swami is providing them food.
Yes. Okay.
And then you have bhakti, the adoration of the Lord in the form of the Vedas.
Yes.
And that is the sacrificial fire which you see in Dasara. And then evening, there is the fire of knowledge, you know, Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. So, all these dimensions, the head, the heart and the hands, all three are blessed during Dasara.
Amazing.
And Swami does it so beautifully. And to be a part of this, I tell you, I don't know what we have done to get this wonderful opportunity.
And I believe you were, in the initial years, probably you must have had the chance to be a part of the Vedam group.
Yes, yes. I was among the earliest groups which learnt Vedam.
Oh, is it?
In fact, when I was in my first PU, pre-university class.
That is the 11th grade.
Yeah, 11th grade. There was this Professor M.N. Chandrasekhar, our Sanskrit teacher, who told us, I would like to teach you Purusha Suktam Vedam why don't you boys come? Mm. And so, you know, a part of our lunch break, we would quickly go finish our lunch and run back to him,
mm-hmm.
and he would teach us. And that's how we learnt Vedam. And, you know, the dividends were so great. Unbelievable dividends. Within about 6 months of learning Vedam, there is a village called Sigehalli, close to Vrindavan, a few kilometers, maybe a couple of kilometers from Vrindavan. And Swami was going there to inaugurate a temple. And Swami took us with him.
This is which year?
This is 75. 75, correct. It's somewhere in February, March, that time. Close to the exams, that's how I remember. And Swami made us chant Vedam. Because I'm sure there must have been lots of mistakes. You know, but Swami is so sweet. He overlooks all that and encourages us. I remember that during the 50th birthday celebration, one day in our room, you know, we used to do a lot of work. There's sheds and all put up. Students used to help in this. We had come 1 month before the birthday and we are working.
To making arrangements for the 50th birthday celebrations.
And where our South Indian canteen now ends, okay, that is where the sheds were there. There were five sheds which were put up at that time. And Swami would come every day and watch. And after the evening function, we were all given rooms in South Prashanti, sea floor. And we would spend the time talking about Swami. Now, one evening, we are talking about Swami, and somebody just voiced this, you know. And they said, hey, we are talking about Swami, no? So Swami must also be remembering us. And before anybody could answer, can you imagine, suddenly I got a call, and somebody said, Swami is calling you. So I went, and I was led to Swami's presence in Mandir, and Swami took out a photograph, and said, hey, see, Ravi, you remember we went to that Sigehalli village where you all chanted Vedam? This is that photo. Take this.
Wow.
You know, that is how it is. And so that is the earliest Vedam photo I have with Swami. Even though it is not totally focused. Now, somebody like me, you must have clicked, I think. It's totally out of focus, but it's enough to recognize that I am there and Swami is there.
But it has such a sharp memory and sharp blessing.
Absolutely. So, that was the earliest, I remember. Then, when the Yajnam used to be going on, Swami would call us and take us to the green room behind Purnachanda Auditorium. You know, in the front you have the Yajna going on, all these pundits and scholars and all chanting. It was wonderful. Behind, Swami would make us chant alone in his presence. He would, one by one, he would say, come on, you stop, you start. Like that, and you never know
the stage.
Yeah, behind the stage.
The scholars are chanting on the stage, but the students stand privately only for Bhagavan.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was in the green rooms. In the green rooms. Okay, and Swami would ask us to chant, and then...
How much he loved to hear, Veda.
How much he loved to hear.
Amazing. Yeah, go on, sir.
Okay, so then we would chant, and I remember after one particular Dasara, our holidays had just begun, and... we were sitting in the bhajan hall. Suddenly Swami sent for Sivashankar Sai, who is now the dean of the Faculty of Science in our university, and myself, into the interview room. He called us into the interview room. And then he said, hey boys, you must learn Rudram. Because in the years to come, you boys must be there chanting Rudram. I want my boys to chant.
So this is sometime in the 70s?
70s. It must be somewhere 76, 77, somewhere along. I don't remember the year clearly, but it's definitely 76, 77, 78, one of these years.
Okay.
And Swami told us, and we were naturally very enthusiastic. I had also had a dream of Swami the previous day in which he told me you learn Rudram.
Oh.
Okay, so this was like a confirmation for me, so I was very thrilled. And then, as we were talking to Swami, sitting at Swami's feet, Kamada Nigaru was doing Padseva. You know, he had this habit of looking down, fully focused on pressing Swami's feet, and he will be mumbling some Vedam.
Oh, okay. But that was...
silently, you know, you could see his lips moving, but no sound.
So as he serves Swami, the Vedam chanting goes on.
Yes, it goes on. For him, it was like heartbeat. You know, all the time he would be chanting.
Wow.
And as he was chanting this, Swami said, Kamadani, will you teach these boys Rudram? Yes, Swami, I will teach. If Swami commands, I will teach. That's what he said. He was a 85 must be, an old gentleman, and the humility with which he spoke to Swami. Because, you know, the Lalita Sahasranam describes the mother as Veda Vedya. She can be understood by only through the Vedas. And here were people who had committed their lives to the Vedas. So they knew what Swami's glory was. And so, with so much of respect, he was speaking to Swami. And Swami said, so will you teach? Yes, Swami, if you command, I will teach. But Rudram is difficult, isn't it? Swami said, yes, Swami, it is difficult. But if you command, I will teach. Then Swami looked at all of us and said, hey, but there's one snag. You know, for chanting these Vedas, you must have that pigtail, you know, tilaka.
Okay. The Brahmins.
Yeah, Brahmins have that small tuft of hair. At
yes.
The, you know. So he looked at all of us seriously and said, would you have that? He said, of course, Swami.
Are you willing to have? To have that.
And Swami said, not only that, see, you must have your head shaven. Is that okay with you? He said, of course, Swami. We are ready to do anything to be in His presence. And it was such a fantastic opportunity.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
Of course, that time we didn't understand that when Swami says you have to tonsure your head, it means you have to remove ignorance, you know?
Yes.
That's what Swami says. That's the significance. We didn't know all that. It was just for us anything,
yes.
Anything in the world.
That's what Swami wanted, an unconditional love.
Yes. Yes, that's all.
And willing to go to any extent to learn Veda.
And maybe that was another way of teaching us the importance of losing body consciousness.
Yes.
Are we so careful about our hairstyle that we would think and then tell?
Yes. Yeah. And Swami, I think your spontaneous answer would have made
Swami is very happy. Swami is very happy.
And the other thing also, as I think about it, is, you know, in the initial years, the Vedic learning and teaching was so much restricted to very particular communities.
Yes.
And, you know, here Swami was making it general.
Yes.
Making it universal.
Yes.
And I think though he asked that, and slowly he allowed everyone to chant.
Yes. Yes.
I think that is something very beautiful about the Veda.
Yes. Swami has made it such a universal phenomenon now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we said, yes, Swami. Then Swami looked at all of us and said, okay, so you all stay back and learn. I am going to Vrindavan tomorrow. And this came as a bolt from the blue, because you would never like to miss Swami in Vrindavan.
Hmm.
You know, it was such an intimate circle. There were hardly 75, 80 of us. And definitely, when you are there in Vrindavan, you spend almost like 8, 9 hours with Swami. And who would like to miss during the holidays? You know, all the time. You know, we would start early in the morning at 5:30. We would be there till 8:45 in the night. In various places, we would be standing waiting for Swami's darshan. That's
wow.
How our day would be spent. You know, all the times our eyes would thirst for this beautiful form. One glimpse of that robe going from one room to the other, you know, we'll feel.
We're waiting for 2 hours for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so beautiful. Okay. In fact, I remember one day, for some reason, I could not go at 6 o'clock when Swami would go, and I happened to go at 6:30. And so I asked one of the boys, what happened? And he said, sir, don't worry, you didn't miss anything. Swami didn't give darshan. I said, yeah, I missed something. I missed waiting for Swami.
Yes.
Right? So not just having darshan, waiting for Swami is a privilege.
Yes.
We wait for ration cards, we wait for bus, we wait for politicians to give us speeches. How often do we wait for God?
God.
You know?
And that waiting is so sweet.
It is tapas, right?
Tapas.
It is tapas.
Hmm.
Sweet, because you're just pining for that beautiful form.
Yes. And those are the moments when you have spent your life in the most useful manner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. That is what life is meant for.
Yes.
That's what life is meant for. It is just that we get sucked up in the humdrum existence and forget that this is the purpose of life.
Yes.
And when the Lord's form is in front of you, I mean, when you get this opportunity, would you miss this?
Yes.
Okay. So, Swami told all of us, and this is a bolt from the blue. And so, we were trying to plead with Swami. And Swami just showed us Kamavadani by gestures. He, I have now told him to teach you, and so there is no way you can get out of this. You have to learn.
So you better be in Parthi and learn.
Yeah, you better be in Parthi and learn.
But I have to go to
Vrindavan. I am going to Vrindavan. And so we are with pleading eyes and pleading gestures. We are telling Swami. And Swami was telling, no, see, I am helpless. And this drama went on for some time. And when finally, with lot of prayer, we felt that we wanted on one side, see, Swami wants us to learn Rudram, so we must learn Rudram, yes. Right? At the other side, Swami is going to Vrindavan, so we must be there. You know, we want both. We want to have the apple and eat it too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you're pleading with Swami, and finally Swami relented, and he gestured to us, see how I handle this. Kind of thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Through his gestures, he communicated that. I'll manage it.
And he started a question, Kamadhani, is there any other name by which Vedas are called? Kamadhani also said, Swami, it's called Shruti.
So he was all the time looking down.
Looking down. He was not looking up.
So he's not seeing the gestures and the communication happening between you and Swami.
That was a beauty, you know. And so, yes, Swami, it's called Shruti. Now, why is it called Shruti? Swami said. Swami, it is because it is heard. So Swami said, what do you mean? Swami, it was communicated between the guru and disciple like this for eons like this. So the teacher teaches and the student learns.
So there are no notebooks. It's just only...
It's heard, you know,
yes.
And learned.
Yes.
So then Swami said, oh, so that is how the teacher used to teach, is it? Then it is enough if these boys are able to hear it and learn, isn't it? Ah, yes, Swami, it is. Then you can record it and give it to them. They can take it with them to Vrindavan and learn it.
Oh, Swami said that.
Swami said this. Wow. And so we got the double blessing of being in Vrindavan and learning it. Of course, we learned it for almost 8-9 hours a day. We sat and learned.
Wow.
And within almost 2 weeks or something, we had
learned full Rudram.
Full Rudram.
Wow. Without seeing the notebook or book.
Phenomenal. See, when God's grace is there and your enthusiasm to make him happy is there, what is impossible?
And you know, you mentioned you wanted to have the apple or the cake and eat it too. And that is possible, isn't it? Swami made it happen.
Yes.
Generally, in worldly ways, you cannot have both. But if you choose God, you will get both.
Yes, absolutely. When you choose God, you get not both, you get everything.
You get everything. Yes.
So that's what happened. And you know, this came in very handy because sometime later, one day, Swami called us. I think it was Swami was inaugurating some festival and there was a flag hoisting. And Swami, just 2 minutes before 7:30, the whole flag hoisting ceremony is about.
In those days, on festival days, Swami used to hoist the flag.
Yes.
On the Prashantali Mandir.
Yes.
And petals used to fall on devotees.
Swami would go right up to the top and there was this bust of Swami. And people would garland Swami. Swami would put that garland to that bust and all that. And then Swami took baskets of flowers and throw it.
And throw from the mandir, right?
And they would fall, not always as petals, you know, sometimes as silver coins and peppermints and things like that.
Wow, phenomenal.
So, 2 minutes before that, suddenly somebody came running and said, Swami is calling Veda boys. And so we all rushed up and there was Swami there. And Swami said, he gestured towards the veranda. So when we went there, Swami came, opened the silver door. Okay, Swami would give a discourse from there.
Yes.
And so Swami sat down, called us to chant. So we didn't have time to discuss what we are going to chant. Okay. So we had a rudimentary knowledge of Rudram. First anuvakam only. Okay. And so one of the boys said, Rudram. That's all we had time to communicate. And we went there and chanted. We started with tremendous enthusiasm and then slowly realized that our knowledge was kind of getting exhausted. So as we were approaching the end of Ashtanavakam, our speed also was becoming slower and slower and slower. And so
because we had no clue what to chant next.
Yeah. I mean, our entire knowledge of Vedas was only that.
Only that.
Okay. And, you know, this Namaste Astubhagam Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Tayam Bakaya
Tripurantakaya
Trikagni Kalaya Kalagni Ruddaya Neelakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Sriman Mahadev. All the time, prayer raging in our hearts. And Sriman Mahadevaya Namaha, we said. Swami said, bus.
Oh, thank God. If Swami doesn't seem to stop, you don't know what to do.
We don't know what to do. You're seeing the relief on our faces as we took Namaskar. And then what happened? I remember one discourse that Swami gave that day was about the secretariat in the sky. You know, he said, just like you have various departments, You know, you have the public work department, works department, then you have the health department, like that, irrigation, like that. In the sky also it is there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are various heads of department. Indra is there, Varuna is there, like that. Different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said that, so when you make a petition, it goes to the respective department.
Mm-hmm.
Then somebody asked Swami, Swami, suppose there is, in the same region, you know, there is a farmer who prays for rain.
Hmm.
My crops are getting dried up.
Someone asked this?
Yes. Swami, what do we do?
Hmm.
Oh Lord, please give us rain. In the same region, there's one more person who says, Swami, my daughter's wedding is there today, so it should not rain.
It should not rain.
So what happens?
Hmm.
So then Swami said, see, when you make a prayer like this, with a selfish intent, you know, personal intent. You may not be selfish, but personal intent, you know. Then the natural law takes its course, he said. But when you make a selfless prayer, it comes to me directly.
Wow.
He said, then I direct the respective department to act.
So it will
so he
not
said, the file directly comes to me.
The file goes directly to the Prime Minister.
Yes.
Does it go to the Home Minister
or
the Finance?
And he says, I direct them to. This is what Swami said.
Wow.
And then another thing which happened at the time was
message.
Very beautiful
if
message.
If you want a message to go directly to Swami, it is as directly proportional to as selfless you are.
Yes. The stamp of selflessness will take it directly to the Prime Minister's office. That's what it means.
Mm.
And another thing which happened at the time was Dr. Bhagavantam was there. And he asked Swami one question which are there in all our minds. No? Yes, Swami, there are so many pundits here, very well-read scholars and all that there.
Mm.
But you chose these boys who are just learning Vedam to chant before your discourse. Then Swami said, Bhagavantam, do you think I look for scholarship when I give opportunities? These children chant with love and that is what I look for. And that is why I call them, because they will cherish it throughout their lives.
Wow.
You know, so that is what the Lord is looking for. And of course, not that we can do it without proper intonation, but when you have the love of the Lord in your heart, love for the Lord in your heart, you try to make it as perfect as possible.
Possible. I think so, that purity is always what you long for.
Yes, yes.
Whether it is Krishna,
the purity of heart gives you the purity of intonation automatically.
Yes.
If you have this, you get that. It's not the other way around.
Correct.
Maybe just being a scholar might kind of give you a swollen head.
Mm.
Okay. Whereas if you have your heart filled with love for the Lord, okay, it would never make your head swell. It would make your head bow to His feet. Because everything you get is an opportunity, you realize. For instance, this chance which I've got, I grabbed it with both hands because I said, Swami, every year I got a chance to speak once. This time you have given me a chance to speak twice.
That's my God. This is a really blessing for Radio Sai.
Definitely it's a blessing for all of us to talk about Swami, to hear about Swami. It's a blessing for all of us, Bishu.
And talking about the talk that you gave in Bhagavan's physical presence this year, we talked about the Karma Yajna, we talked about the Adoration Yajna through the Vedas, and then we said this Jnana Yajna was these beautiful lectures that Bhagavan always had during the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, during the Sara, and you were part of it. So can you reflect on how it was this journey? Because I believe in the initial years there were scholars, isn't it?
Oh, they were tremendous scholars. Tremendous scholars and devotees of God.
Hmm.
Tremendous. You know, Swami would listen to them, hours together they would speak. Okay. And there was one, Shishla Chandra Mauli Shastikaru.
Hmm.
A great scholar. Very great scholar. At almost 90 years, if he spoke, you would feel that he doesn't need the mic.
Oh my God.
And 90 years. And he would speak with such gusto about Gopika's devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Very great scholars. And in the afternoons, you know, there used to be this Harikatha.
Uh-huh.
Harikatha. Mm-hmm. And they were very great scholars. You know, Bishu, I honestly feel that this is, I mentioned this in the speech the other day, this is one more act of Swami's grace, that he should include ordinary people like me also to be in that. You know, in that sub Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha.
But for Swami, these boys are...
That's His kindness. That you know, for the mother, the lisping of her child is more this thing than the perfect intonation of her.
Yeah, because for Him, that love is what
yes,
he's looking
absolutely,
for, as you mentioned.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so over the years, you have spoken for more than 25 years now. What memories you have of these opportunities that you got to speak during the Sahara?
Oh, it would be just wonderful. I must tell you that my first speech was not in 86. Hmm. My first speech in Dasara was in 74.
Oh my God.
When I had just entered the college, first pre-university, you know, 11th standard.
You started speaking?
Yes.
Anyway, first
in fact, in the first week, first week I joined Vrindavan, I started speaking.
Wow.
Swami suddenly looked and said, "Hey, small boy, get up and speak." And I pleaded with him that I didn't want to. He said, "No, no, no. You just get up and say that I got up because I'll get two namaskars and I have finished my first namaskar. I'll now take my second namaskar and sit down." That was my first speech.
Oh my God, two sentences.
Two sentences. And Swami tolerated it for the first time. In fact, Swami coached me to say this.
Wow.
And after that, any number of opportunities Swami would give.
Hmm.
And then Swami had also told Professor Gokak to train us. You know, Professor Gokak formed something called a Prashanti group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so about 8 of us were selected and we were supposed to speak during Dasara. So he would listen to our speeches, our accent, and he would correct it. Professor Gokak was a very great scholar. And that year Dasara, I had my speech ready and every day morning a person would be asked to speak.
So you didn't know which day is your day?
We didn't know. And it was like the last day, Navami, and I had still not got my opportunity, and it was 4:30 in the evening. And I was sitting in the auditorium, and I was telling my classmate, one Vijay Sharma, I said, "Hey, I missed this wonderful opportunity of speaking. I don't know when my chance will come."
So all the boys have to be prepared, and you might be called any day.
Any day. Okay, and so this boy said, "Why don't you go to the stage and ask Professor Gokak?" And I don't know what came over me. With a lot of guts, I walked up the stage, went behind the screen and asked Professor Gokak, "Sir, when is my turn to speak?" He said, "There, Dr. Bhagavantam is there. Just ask him." And Dr. Bhagavantam was just about to go to the screen, you know, to the front of the stage. I asked him, "Sir, when is my turn to speak?" And he said, "What's your name?" I said, "Sir, my name is Ravi Kumar." He said, "I'm just going to announce your name."
You didn't know?
It somehow, there was a communication gap.
Oh my God.
Not reached me. And so he went and announced my name. And I went and stood there and looked at the audience. And looked at the audience. And looked at the audience.
Oh my God.
I was speaking through my eyes.
You became speechless.
Speechless. I mean, when people see the glory of God, they become speechless. Okay. I was speechless here. I didn't know anything, you know. And then I mumbled something about Purnachanda Mandala and Purnachanda Auditorium, something I had prepared. I don't know what I said. And when I sat down, I think the audience was relieved and I was relieved. And then there was a great scholar who spoke for almost an hour. And about 40 minutes into his speech, Swami came and sat on the throne. After he finished, Swami called Dr. Bhagavantam and said, "Announce Ravi's name." And he said, "Swami has already spoken." And then, and there itself, he got a nice scolding. Swami said, "Why did you ask him to speak in my absence?"
Oh.
He would have become so nervous.
Oh,
you know,
God.
After all, our source is Swami only, isn't it? When you stand next to Swami, things flow. And I realized,
he said that, without me, you would be nervous.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
You know, that is a mother.
Absolutely.
Right? Because Dasara.
Absolutely. Right? Phenomenal.
Always experience Swami's love like this.
So you spoke again?
Yeah. After that, I got chances. But
so that day also you spoke again?
No.
Oh, but they were taken to task.
Yeah, they were taken to task for announcing like that. Okay. After that, when I got my chance, Swami was very happy. It was the 12th of October, 1986, and I got a chance. It was so beautiful. I tell you, Swami was very, very happy. And he came and told me that he is very happy. So after that, it continued.
Wonderful. And in your talk this time, you mentioned about how Bhagwan gave you, in a dramatic manner, the opportunity to stay back at his lotus feet.
Yes, yes.
And I think that is such a precious gift for all those students who have now this chance to serve in Bhagwan's institutions, to be at Sai Sannidhi.
Yes, yes.
And when I reflect on it, where Bhagwan's body is present, is that is called Sai Sannidhi. And this group of students who do Bhagwan's work in different institutions are also called the Sai Sannidhi group. It is same as that.
Yes, like, we are under his care, at his feet. I remember one instance which I wanted to talk about the other day, but I was short of time.
Yeah, please go on.
You know, it was one of those days when I was studying my master's in Anantapur. And when the holidays began, I came to Vrindavan. And Swami sent word to me that there is no place in a hostel for students who are passed out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and stay with your parents. You know, for me, staying with Swami physically also was important, I felt, you know, that time. So I wrote a letter to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And sent it upstairs. In that letter I wrote, Swami, in the hostel where I stay in Anantapur, you know, that PG center, as soon as they declare the holidays, students immediately rush to the town to book tickets to go home. I too did the same. Do you know why did they do that? Because they know their mother is waiting at the end of their journey to receive them. And Swami, for me, you are that.
Wow.
You know, so I went and booked, and I come here, and you say there's no place for me, Swami. It's all right. I'll go back to Anantapur. I just wrote this, and then drew a heart, you know, at the end. And in that, I wrote house full and put a question mark.
Is God's house also full?
Mm. Is your heart house full? There's no place for the small child.
Mm.
And within 2 minutes flat, Swami was down, you know. He came and it looked like he had come for something else. And he asked for the car. And there were 2-3 other boys. He'd sent them on some errand to call Mr. Craxy and some other elders. And then he called me alone. And he said, why did you write like that?
Mm.
And I didn't have anything to say. I just shed tears. And then Swami said, there is always place for you in Sai Sannidhi. There's always place for you at my lotus feet.
Wow.
And that is the mother. It is her kindness. It is Swami's kindness that I am here. They say very beautifully, whatever the mother gives us alms, that is what we are.
Yes.
Right? So that is what it is.
And there is always place
For everybody at Swami's feet. There's always place.
If you need me, Swami says you deserve me.
That's all.
Yes.
He's not going to look into our qualifications, because if he looks into that, I think the cycle and hall will be empty. None of us will match up to his expectations.
Yes.
But Swami finds a reason to keep us near, you know. He sees, like somebody once wrote to Swami, Swami, I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you.
Amazing.
And he says, you look into my heart and find a good thing, a good thought, which I had not even noticed there.
Amazing. That's so true.
And he says, I'm thankful to you, Swami, because you have made out of the lumber of my life a temple, a tavern it would have been otherwise.
Wow. Amazing.
That's what it is.
He has made diamonds out of dirt.
Absolutely.
You come to him as a dirt and he will make a diamond out of you. Amazing. Wonderful, sir. In fact, as you are mentioning this, I'm just reminded how in the world, if you do so many acts, but if you do even one bad act or, you know, one thing that is not proper, the world will talk only about that. And they will not see all the other good things that you have done.
Really?
But for Swami, even if you have done 100 not good things, but you have done only one good thing, he will see only that.
Talk of positivity.
Yeah. He will see only that and he will reward you.
Swami is the reservoir of all positive things in the world. And that is why Swami teaches us to look for this positivity in everybody around us.
In fact, when I was talking to Sainath sir some time back, he said that on the occasion of Dasara, when Bhagwan had selected a group of students to speak, and Bhagwan called all the students, I don't know, this is probably somewhere in the 80s, and Swami was giving them tips about public speaking.
Mm.
And the first point Swami said is, my boys should always talk about positive things.
I know. I was there in that.
You were there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It used to be, you know, in the morning when the Yajnam is going on, Swami would call us inside.
Mm.
He would give us a feedback about the previous day's speaker.
Mm.
And he would tell us what you should be careful about. And he would tell us, don't look at the audience, you'll get scared. Look above their heads in the beginning. Once you get confidence, look into people's eyes.
Wow.
He would say that.
Wonderful.
Really, thank you so much, sir. And I'm really so happy that we are doing this conversation on Vijayadashmi Day.
Yeah.
And reliving those delightful Dasara memories.
There is one other thing which I remember about this Vijayadashmi Day. No, one particular year, this was 1978, when we did not get our Dasara holidays during Dasara. We were then affiliated to the Bangalore University, and they had a certain time of the year when they would give Dasara holidays, which need not always coincide with Dasara. And except for the last 3 days, you know, the Ashtami, Navami and the 7 days. And so we had missed out on the first 7 days. And when we came here, we were all deeply disappointed. We missed out most of this. And on the Vijayadashmi Day, as Swami was just lifting his sleeves, you know, to do the Vibhuti Abhishekam, as if he remembered something, he came down. Came to the edge of the stage and said, "Veda boys." And there were three of us who, within earshot, so we got up quickly and went up the stage, and Swami said, "Ruddham Chappandi." So we chanted the Ruddham. As we were chanting the Ruddham, Swami created gold necklace. You know, each of those beads were like skulls. Which Shiva wears, isn't it? And put it around Shirdi Baba's idol, which is there, which is now there in the prayer hall. And then Swami started the Vibhuti Abhishekam. And we were just 3 feet away, okay, witnessing this. And from the pot, you know, as Swami was twirling his hand.
Yeah, the inverted part.
There was, Vibhuti was, there was a torrential downpour, you can say it was a cascade. And you know, as the Vibhuti was coming, we could see from close quarters, Haldi was coming, Kumkum was coming, and all that. And it was a beautiful sight. And it was only later, as we were, after the Aarti, when we were coming out, I suddenly realized that that was the 60th anniversary of Shirdi Baba's Mahasamadhi.
Oh.
You know, we have this 60-year cycle in the Indian calendar.
Yes.
Akshay Nama Samvatsaram comes in the 60th year again. Like that. So, it was 1978. You know, 1918, Shirdi Baba had taken Mahasamadhi, and 1978.
So, it's special.
It was that necklace was Shiva Avatar, wasn't it?
Shiva Avatar.
There were two occasions when Swami would perform Vibhuti Abhishekam those days. One was Shivaratri, because Shirdi Baba was Shiva. And the other was Vijayadashmi, when Shirdi Baba had taken Mahasamadhi.
Wow. I mean, the Vijayadashmi is so much associated with the Shirdi Avatar, and Swami made it very clear and by doing this Abhishekam of Vibhuti.
You know, that was like the connecting link, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That Udi and Vibhuti.
Udi, Vibhuti, Shiva, Smashana, everything is
covered in that.
Everything is so silent but powerful. Hints about what he is and who he is. And in fact, that torrential flow of Vibhuti is to me a metaphor of the torrential grace that is to come on everyone. And then Bhagavan himself would then go and sprinkle the water, sacred water on everyone. Dasara is just a delightful shower of his grace. Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios sharing these priceless memories.
Let us both thank Swami for this opportunity to think of him. That makes our life worthwhile. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Dr. T. Ravi Kumar, the warden of the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Beautiful showers of love and grace during Dasara. And every Dasara is special. What we experience today in the Pune Chandra Auditorium and in the Sai Kulwant Hall in the evening is special. People who were present in the Pune Chandra Auditorium know how wonderful this feeling is, how elevating this feeling is, how sanctifying it is to sit and be a witness and be a part of this yatnam. It is that sanctifying fire of sacrifice. It is that sanctifying fire which will elevate us, just like the fire which always only goes up and which can purify anything that is put into this. This sacrifice is similarly, which can only take us up, take us Godward, and which will only and does only always purifies us. That is Dasara. That is the delight of Dasara. That is the liberating principle embedded in Dasara. So dear listeners, Vijayadashmi 2015 comes to a beautiful, glorious end. But these sentiments and these feelings, these powerful thoughts will ensure that they bring more goodness and hope and beauty to our life. Let us cultivate these thoughts and beautify our life in its truest sense. On behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, my thanks to each one of you for being with us all throughout the day. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Finally, we offer our humble salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity to share His love and sanctify our lives, thinking about Him, ruminating on Him, and being lost in His story. Thank you so much. As I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by Bal Vikas children from Bihar and Jharkhand on 23rd March 2008. It's entitled Bhakta Shabari. This is what you will continue to listen. Thank you so much. Salam.